Well, first, full disclosure about your service leader. I was born into a non-religious Jewish family in an extremely homogeneous, non-religious Jewish neighborhood in the Bronx. Went to public schools with all Jewish kids, had all Jewish relatives, and had a few years of Jewish education before and after my bar mitzvah. But I'm a pretty unlikely choice to be explaining Judaism to you all. You see, in my mid-teens, like many of my post-war generation, I left the religion. The signature point of Judaism, a single God, just started seeming implausible to me, and I continue to disregard four of the Ten Commandments that are about worshiping that God. So I'm a Jewish atheist, or I prefer the term humanist, American UU humanist. There's some irony here. Remember in Fiddler on the Roof how Yentl disowned his son for marrying outside the faith? My parents were not religious, but saw life very much through the lens of their Jewish heritage, including having personally suffered anti-Semitism and living at the time of the Holocaust. They were appalled and pushed back hard about my having a partner outside the faith. They said, "You're breaking with 5,000 years of heritage. You can't understand now, but when you're older, you'll regret it." So far, my main regret about leaving Judaism is today, when I am assigned to tell you all about Judaism. I have imagined my departed parents having somehow arranged my getting this assignment at a planning meeting that I had to miss. I thought, how ironic. Kind of like my bar mitzvah all over again about 60 years later. The Jewish culture with which I'm quite familiar and the religion which spawned it, with which I'm less so, have a complicated relationship. Much of the culture is an outgrowth of the religion, of course, but the religion is not the main focus of the culture. More that we're a tribe that has pride, identity, and connection, and has each other's back. I think it's safe to say that most people here are a lot more familiar with the Jewish culture and Jewish people than with the Jewish religion. There are an estimated 13 to 14 million Jews in the world, 80% of them in the U.S. or Israel. 1.5 million are left in Europe. In America, we're all aware of Hanukkah and Passover and Yom Kippur, which is part of the high holy days of the new year, and keeping kosher, and Yiddish expressions like kvetch, and shmooze, and shlemiel, and oyvey. Jewish foods like knishes, bagels, matzo ball soup. And it's largely American Jews, many of whom are not religious, that still somehow represent Judaism and Jewish culture to America. All the more reason now to take some time to explore the religion itself. Like UUism, Judaism considers itself a living religion, not just about studying the Bible. There's a lot of room for interpretation. Sages through the ages include Maimonides and Spinoza to Anne Frank and Viktor Frankl. There are three main branches of Judaism, Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. But on the outer extremes are extremely devout and distinctive Hasids, and the humanistic, specifically non-theistic or Reconstructionist Judaism congregations. The full spectrum from extremely devout to very reform-minded, you might say. What the Christians call the Jewish Bible or the New Testament is known to Jews as the Bible. The holiest part of the Bible is the Torah, the so-called five books of Moses that start in the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, the story of earth and Adam and Eve and the Israelites, to the founding of Judaism with Abraham through a covenant with God, all the way up through the prophets and the Jewish enslavement in Egypt, their emancipation and exodus, known as the Passover, and the trials and tribulations of the tribe, including God's anger and punishment, along with many prescriptions about how to live, conduct proper rituals, and above all, to worship the one and only God. Copies of the Torah, as used in synagogues worldwide, have to be individually handwritten in Hebrew on parchment scrolls, which are covered between services by a special ornate cloth and enclosed in a cabinet called an ark. This is truly the holy scriptures of Judaism. It is stirring to see the large parchment scroll ceremoniously held up and its covering carefully removed with great respect and laid out on the pulpit. The religion's directives include being admonished to be respectful, pious, scholarly, compassionate, fair, generally conscientious, charitable, skeptical, and loving. I don't know where the humor part of Jewish culture comes in, but a high proportion of famous comedians are Jewish, and performers and artists of all kinds are disproportionately Jewish. It's hard to sort out how the religion could somehow be responsible for that. Maybe it has to do with the persecution suffered by the Jews, the laughing to keep from crying factor. Or does it reflect the mentality to be continually on alert, taking nothing for granted and being therefore energized? Here are some famous Jewish entertainers: David Kaminsky, Nathan Birnbaum, Benjamin Kubelski, Robert Zimmerman, Alan Konigsberg. Oh, you probably know them better by their names: Danny Kaye, George Burns, Jack Benny, Bob Dylan, Woody Allen. It's worth noting that in each case, the talented, ambitious person chose to change his name to something not obviously Jewish. We know that Jews are quite disproportionately found in many academic fields as well. Rates of education and income are at the highest level. Also, Jews' rate of philanthropy is disproportionately high to causes both Jewish and non-Jewish. Here, the religion can clearly take credit for having helped build a culture of scholarliness and wanting to heal the world. I'll repeat it, wanting to heal the world. More on that later. Over the millennia, the persistence of the Jewish culture and the Jewish people is unique. They hang together and have each other's back. They know how to circle the wagons. It's often said that this cohesion is in large part thanks to their being the people of the law. The Torah's 613 commandments from God about how to live range from clothing and food to relations between people, whether in the marketplace or with employees or slaves. Then there's the Talmud, over 6,000 pages, the product of much scholarly debate and negotiation involving thousands of rabbis in the 2nd through the 5th centuries, all about how to interpret the laws of the Torah. Much of the resulting prescriptions are time-consuming to obey, but are part of serving God. God's first concern is with a person's decency. That has to do with looking out for others as well as constant attention to prayer and praising God. There are many prescriptions concerning honesty. Studying the Torah is considered important because it contains all the best ethical prescriptions covering many situations. You keep doing the mitzvot, follow the commandments, and you can't help but be righteous. Here is a principle often cited by socially conscious people as a deep and strong thread in their Jewish upbringing. I think this is pronounced right, tikkun olam, which means repair the world or heal the world. Heal the world is the watchword of the social justice movement. It is right in sync with our UU outer focus. Perfecting or healing or repairing the world is an important goal for each person by which they are judged to be a good person. It is not your obligation, it is said, to complete the task of perfecting the world, but neither are you free to desist from doing all you can. So the prescription is to do all you can. It's understood you're not going to fully succeed, but you have to try. According to the website myjewishlearning.com, to Jews today, the term tzedakah, I think I said that right, connotes giving charitable contributions. But the term originates in another realm. In the Bible, it means righteous behavior and is often paired with justice. This principle has been said to have as much weight as all the other mitzvot put together. In Jewish thought and tradition, material support for those in need is not a matter of charity, which implies voluntary generosity, but a requirement. As in most areas of Jewish life, there are specific expectations. In giving help, it's best to give directly and in the most considerate manner possible to minimize the shame of being in need. Anonymous giving is recommended as there is no benefit, social or egotistical. It's just righteous behavior. My parents grew up poor, but as they would point out, there was always a donation box in the home for those in need. A major part of the religion is Yom Kippur around the time of the new year in the fall. On the highest holy day, there is fasting and asking and granting forgiveness for the wrongs we have done in the previous year on purpose or by omission. Our fellow congregant here that I consulted with, Mary Gibb, is she here? Mary? Oh, there you are. Thank you for your comments, Mary. And she says, this, for me, has been the most meaningful part of the High Holy Days, that as human beings, we can ask others for forgiveness, and it is imperative that they forgive us. Restitution is part of this as well. So that adds up to a lot of laws, many calls to action, many prescriptions, and following them all helps one stay on the righteous path. Let's get back to UUs for a moment. UUs, of course, may have many interesting conversation about refinements of the UU principles, different versions of the golden rule like the platinum rule, whether or not to display a Black Lives Matter banner, etc. And that is a telling and interesting parallel to the rigorous arguing and hair-splitting by scholars and countless rules and obligations among Jews that resulted in the Talmud. Apart from the notion of one God and his commandments, Jewish culture in America is more involved with matters such as opposing persecution of others as well as themselves. Anti-Semitism has been a force against Jews for millennia, and it was very real to my parents. My dad was denied an important promotion by someone who was later heard to brag that he had never knowingly promoted a Jew. My mother, as a child in Rhode Island, was regularly beaten up by kids saying, "You killed our Lord." It was brought home especially hard in the mid-20th century when they were young parents, when they discovered the Holocaust. And many of my parents' generation were greatly shaped by the atrocity of a highly organized, systematic attempt to annihilate all Jews from the planet just 75 years ago. Those who don't understand the deep devotion of Jews worldwide to Israel would do well to think deeply about Hitler's and Eichmann's Holocaust. What on earth would cause humans to want to hunt down, round up, and put to death people en masse just because of their ethnic identity? It remains quite a mystery to me and haunts me. How many of you have ever been to a Holocaust museum? Wow. They exist in many places, including very appropriately Germany, as well as a number of cities in the US. The first one I went to was the one in Jerusalem. And my reaction after 2 hours within its walls was to cry harder and longer than I've ever cried in my life. I know it haunted my parents too. My father's reaction, and he was a math professor who taught logic, was to conclude there couldn't possibly be a loving God who looked after the Jews. But he was very much a Jew, and he was only half kidding when, after hearing any big current events news, he would ask, "Is it good for the Jews?" My mother made regular reference to the realization that given the high proportion of Jews high in the science community, perhaps, as she put it, the cure for cancer died in the Holocaust. It happens I was conceived the same month as Hitler's death. When I started school, my neighborhood schools had a sudden burst of overcrowding in classrooms of kids in my year, 1946. I now understand that that was my parents' and my neighborhood's response to Hitler, and it helped me understand my parents' pushback when I chose to marry a non-Jew. I'm glad I found Unitarian Universalism, which freely invites the use of Jewish wisdom from the Golden Rule to Tikkun Olam, while not insisting that I worship an invisible God. I know I belong here where I can continue to care about and explore the tradition that informed all my ancestors. I'll close with a lovely quote from the Talmud. The highest form of wisdom is kindness.